U.S. job losses slow way down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. All year long, this economy's been shedding jobs, hundreds of thousands per month. That number's been slowly shrinking, but a few minutes ago, the government announced job losses plunged last month to almost zero. Let's figure out what this means. On the line with us is the U.S. economist at UniCredit Global Research, Harm Bonholz, live from New York. Good morning, Harm.
Good morning, Bill.
The official unemployment rate is still 10%, but employers cut only 11,000 jobs in November, the fewest since late 07, before the recession started. Your reaction?
Yeah, it is certainly a very strong report and caught us a little bit by surprise. In addition to these benign job declines in November, the previous 2 months were revised up by 160,000. So overall, a very strong report.
How do you account for this?
Well, I mean, there were some... I think the biggest reason is that companies are reducing the pace of layoffs after cutting more than 7 million jobs during the recession. And so this is reflected in lower declines in payrolls, primarily.
Why is the unemployment rate still at 10%?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the unemployment rate eased a little bit compared to October, but 10% is obviously a very high level. And I think the biggest problem is long-term unemployed. Among all people unemployed, 38% are unemployed for 27 weeks and more. This is by far the highest value in the statistics.
Yeah, so we're not cheering this morning.
I think the market will cheer a little bit, but fundamentally, the situation on the labor market is still bleak.
The president just held a jobs summit. What do you think this good news will do to the momentum for government job creation?
I mean, the government has not too much money left to spend, so this may be a welcome reason that they don't do too much. But I think some more action is needed, and I actually would recommend that the government is stepping up the infrastructure spending.
Interesting. Harm Bonholz is U.S. economist at UniCredit Global Research. Live from New York, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wall Street's not open yet, but foreign markets are watching that U.S. unemployment report. And European stocks have just reversed themselves this morning. They are now up almost 1%. Earlier today, Asian markets were mixed. Yesterday on Wall Street, a snapshot of the service sector came in kind of weak, and the Dow slid 86 points yesterday, closed at 10,366. There were some pretty dismal consumer spending numbers coming out this week. We just are not spending like we used to. And since retailers make almost half their money this time of year, you got to wonder what would another dismal holiday mean. Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
It's beginning to look a lot like another bad holiday season for retailers. Last year, they were caught with too much inventory and had to slash prices. Sluggish sales this year are more bad news, says Conference Board economist Ken Goldstein.
This four-week period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, this is it. I mean, this is the Super Bowl for retailing.
And some retailers are going to fumble. Holiday sales are expected to be 1 to 2% below what they were in 2008. And Goldstein says things are going to get pretty Darwinian in the retail sector.
There's undoubtedly going to be a few that just simply can't make it or wind up combining with another chain because they can't continue to go along.
These leaner times are likely to stick around, says Lynn Colley, professor of marketing at the University of Oregon.
I think that a lot of people are saving more money. Americans probably are permanently going to be a little bit more cautious.
Colley says consumers will start spending again when companies start hiring again. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Bank of America, which has begun a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In a few days, world leaders will meet in Copenhagen to talk climate change. Trying to figure out what the climate will be like decades in the future is not easy. So for help, British scientists are looking to the past, as Marketplace's Christopher Wirth reports.
At the UK's National Archives in London, Dennis Wheeler slowly flips through the yellowed pages of a logbook kept by one of Britain's most famous seafarers, the 18th century explorer, Captain James Cook.
On a voyage round the world, performed in the years 1768, 69, 1771. Okay. God, I hope we turned the gas off before we went.
But Wheeler is no historian. He's a climatologist at the University of Sunderland who's leading a project to digitize about 250 years' worth of British Navy logbooks. Wheeler says sea captains like Cook kept detailed records of weather conditions, things like wind direction and air temperature. The logs are a wealth of information about what the climate was like before the Industrial Revolution. Wheeler says he gets one question from people all the time.
Why on earth look at the data of the past? Because what we need to know about is what it's going to be like in 20, 50, or 100 years' time.
His answer has to do with computer models that climatologists use to predict future climate change. Those models can also be used to simulate what happened in the past as a way to test if their projections are reliable. So now scientists will be able to compare their simulations of the 18th and 19th centuries to the actual weather data in the logbooks. Rob Allen heads one of the largest historical databases on climate at the UK's National Weather Service.
It's one check to say, can your models reproduce what we are seeing as appears to actually happen in the climate system? If you can do that, you can feel more confident about using those models to project into the future.
Allen says historical information about storms and floods can be added to the mix, allowing climatologists to better predict similar conditions going forward. And that's valuable to everyone from farmers to insurance companies.
So it's only by, rather bizarrely, only by looking back that we can actually look forward.
Wheeler says there are 120,000 logbooks that date back before 1850, including books from the HMS Beagle, the ship that ferried Charles Darwin to the Galapagos. And once they're digitized, climatologists from all over the world can get their hands on them. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a DirecTV commercial starring King Kong and Naomi Watts.
Ugh. If only he were more evolved. Then he'd switch from cable to DirecTV and get 5 months of their best TV package for free.
The trouble is King Kong belongs to Universal Pictures, and it looks like they're being bought by DirecTV's rival Comcast. I know 'twas beauty killed the beast, but 'tis an acquisition might kill that ad. This is Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.